Good morning. Very good. It's the one thing we forgot to prep, the mic. Well, it's a great morning. I'm a little emotional after watching that song, Be Put Into Human Video. That was absolutely incredible. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. A city on a hill. This is not an unfamiliar phrase to any of us. Politically, it's been used by countless American presidents, preachers, and leaders to speak of the unique position this country has had to be a model to other nations. It seems to be the perfect image for preachers and teachers to use to discuss the interrelation of faith and politics, religion, and society. Biblically, it's one of the favorite metaphors that Matthew employs to describe the luminous and visible nature of the community of Jesus followers, being a beacon of hope to a dark and rather hopeless world. The evangelical dimension of this metaphor is by far the most popular way to look at the phrase city on a hill. And no doubt there have been many sermons from this very pulpit that have utilized the image in this way. However, as meaningful and fascinating as these perspectives are, that's not what we're focusing on today. I want to take a much deeper look, a much closer look inside this city on the hill. The dramatists this morning have so beautifully portrayed this incredible song by Casting Crowns. I must confess, it's my favorite. And I have a lot of Casting Crowns favorites. I don't know what all of you saw in this song and drama, though I'm eagerly in hearing afterwards what you did receive. But I'll tell you what I saw. I saw a picture of what it looks like when churches get it so right, what it looks like when they get it so wrong. Being a PK, that's pastor's kid, for those of you not part of such a privileged group, I've grown up seeing both, being in the church all my life, and I'm sure that many of you have experienced church similarly. This artistic vision that Casting Crowns has given, it stays away, however, from a depiction of religious conflict that ends in violent separation or bloody conflict. Crowns realizes that the cancer found in so many churches less often results in an explosive death, but more often it looks like a slow fade, fizzling out until that city is no longer inhabited. The real danger that church communities face is drifting apart through a myriad of disunities that eventually result in no community at all. When we look at the relationships of the various characters in this human video, we may be reminded of another biblical image, Paul's one body, many parts in 1 Corinthians 12. The poets, the soldiers, and the elders' accusations of shallowness, weakness, and foolishness towards each other may seem to suggest that the community would be better off if it just consisted of one group rather than the many. In the context of 1 Corinthians 12, this sounds just as silly as the eye saying to the hand, I have no need of you, or the head saying to the feet, I have no need of you. Paul's teaching in this section is very clear, declaring that the members of the body that seem to be weaker or unnecessary are in fact indispensable, and that these members should actually be given greater honor. Quote, the body does not consist of only one member, but of many. Unquote. So for any body part to think of itself more or less than it is, it would be ridiculous indeed. For if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? All members are needed. Every part helps the other parts perform their functions well. God's design is that there may be no dissension in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. The image of a city's members in relationship with one another in the city on a hill further develops this idea by showing that one's very role in the community is made more excellent when others are fulfilling their roles well. The dancer's rhythm inspires the poet's life. The poet's spirit gives the soldier strength to fight. The fire of the young spur the old to keep growing. The wisdom of the old give the young sturdy guideposts. The story of the poor and destitute give the wealthy and secure a humble pause and compels a fairer distribution of power. These community members are only better when they are together. Alone, they can do nothing of infinite value. So is this creative and incisive interpretation of Matthew 5:14 by casting crowns, is this a prophecy or is this a diagnosis? I'll let that up to you, Calvary community, to decide what that is. But I want to urge each and every one of us to deeply consider the roles that we live out in this very local city at the middle of the hill. Maybe you identify with one of these illustrated characters. Or maybe you're a different kind of character from what has been mentioned here. Are you young? Middle-aged? Old? Are you rich? Middle class? Living from paycheck to paycheck? No paycheck? Is your musical ability or preference traditional? Or is it contemporary? Do you assist and teach our members? Are you more of a learner? Do you have much knowledge or little? Do you worship best through words or through silence? Have you been here at Calvary since you were a baby? Have you been here only for a couple months? Me. Are you here for the first time today? Are you charismatic and extroverted? Are you quiet, introverted? Are you on many church committees? Or have you yet to share your gifts with this church? Fill in the blank. Hear me very clearly. We are better together when we inspire one another, when we orient our gaze onto one another rather than on ourselves. We open up ourselves to an infinity of learning experiences and relational opportunities. When we strive to love those beautiful differences that we see in each other, we can begin to feel a change in our hearts. When that love is expressed through the sharing of our gifts with one another, we will begin to experience communal transformation. Let me paint that for you. Imagine what it would look like to see the eldest members of our church grabbing our kids and youth by the shoulders, looking at them in the eye, saying, "Please, please share with me your passions and your struggles. They're most precious to me. You inspire me in my old age." Imagine our youth knocking at the doors of our elders, demanding that they share the pearls of wisdom they have gained over a lifetime, saying, "Teach me. I'm listening to you. I'm watching you. Show me how to live." Imagine our lovers of a contemporary Christian style of worship, frequenting the traditional service, eager to find the exquisite treasures found in so many of the hymns of old, encountering rich language and theology that deepens their spiritual vocabulary. And imagine our lovers of a traditional style of worship, finding their hearts strangely warmed, in the words of John Wesley, when they experience the emotion and passion of contemporary worship styles, allowing the Holy Spirit to maybe reawaken areas of the heart that have become cool. Imagine those with little formal education coming forth with a desire to teach, zealous to to humbly learn alongside our kids, our youth, and adults, hungry to ask their deepest questions, and earnest to draw out that beautiful spirit of inquiry that lies within the soul of every person. Imagine those with years of education submitting their rich knowledge to the base, submitting their rich knowledge base to the testimonies and experiences of those who have little formal knowledge, keenly listening to those that they might otherwise have dismissed. Imagine a congregation loving each other so thoroughly with words and actions that a visitor had a very difficult time identifying the stronger members in the group, with this group of disciples ever dressing themselves in the simple garments of the weaker members. Imagine a hospitality so powerful that seekers and travelers felt dismay in walking out of the doors of this building, finding themselves touched and transformed after just one encounter with this small community of Christ followers. What if the immense gravity of incarnational heaven on earth, blood, sweat, and tears, Christianity found deep roots at Calvary United Methodist Church? It can, and it will, when we are first willing to be better together. When we are willing to take on the toughest task of loving one another, our own congregation, our own members, our own family, with unwavering fidelity, we won't have to worry about this body's growth. When the unspeakably majestic love of Christ is first given to those we call our family, a spiritual fountain begins to rise up and overflow and flood into our communities. It's then that our town and our state and our nation and our world will see a blindingly bright city on a hill. The Christ mystery will continue to draw all creation unto itself. That river of transformation is already flowing. For God's unstoppable and universal redemption is always at work. Will we step into the flow? Will we, Calvary United Methodist Church, be better together?
My sense is some of you wanted to give Richie